able to give us some leverage in life. I'm aware that there are many students in this place tonight from various institutions of learning. So from the natural kingdom, we have people who are influenced by the natural dimension and natural dynamics of things that influence things on the earth. Technology, writings, and then creative arts in their various expressions. But that's not the only kingdom that influences things on the earth. And then now also we have what I would like to call the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom where Satan holds sway. Where, according to scriptures, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air. He does not walk alone. He walks with his cohorts, ranking powers. When you study Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to about verse 14, you'll see ranking powers of the structures of the kingdom of darkness. And they don't just walk in the air, in the clouds, and they are just assumed. They have influence on the face of the earth. So you see, for example, in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and then he took him at a point in time, and then he said, look at all of these kingdoms. Which kingdoms? A kingdom has to do with a king's domain. A king is not just the one who has a crown on the head. It's the one who has an influence. Formal influence, informal influence. The president, Nigerian Union of Transport Workers, is a king. He has influence. He may not sit on a throne, but at his command, people are willing to lay down their lives. You go to some of those motor parks in Lagos, regional NURTW, they come with bags of money, cash, to give to their boss as he's caught per day, every day. You have the domain of doctors. You have the domain of lawyers. So these are kingdoms. The kingdom of marriage. The kingdom of business. The kingdom of creative arts. These are all kingdoms. But it's instructive to note, Jesus was being tempted by the devil. And the devil went on to say, look, all of these kingdoms, they belong to me. And I'm able to give. So if only you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you these things. So you see how Satan is able to influence people and give them kingdoms of commerce and give kingdoms of creative arts. And you see some people want to sing, and then before they get inspiration, they have to get into drugs. They have to sniff stuff. They have to smoke stuff. They have to drink hard stuff. And they get high to get a type of inspiration. It's not only the Almighty God who gives men inspiration. There are other realms of inspiration. So you'll see Satan there showing that, look, it's not just scholarship, intellect, people, senses, emotions, hereditary thrones that influence society. I also have my influence. And you'll begin to see clearer, like in Daniel chapter 10, like in Ezekiel chapter 28, how that there is a structure of the kingdom of darkness that influences things in the natural. You hear, for example, about the prince of Persia. You will not get that in a physical location somewhere. It's a diabolic influence that controls commerce, life, culture, orientation, perspectives. When you go to a society and men early in the morning, they will not go to the farm, they will not go to work, they come play draft by 10 a.m., they are drunk. It's a culture influenced by that other kingdom. Are you still in here? My time is flying, so I'll cut some things here. So there is the kingdom of man, the level of intellect, the level of scholarship, the level of emotions, the level of natural sight and feelings. But there is this other kingdom. It is global. It is universal. It operates from the realm of the spirit, but it seeks human cohorts, either through ignorance or through rebellion. You don't know, you join forces with what is strange because you want to make it. Or you know, you count the cost. You say, what has my scholarship done for me? What has my degree done for me? If I can get it by bowing to you, go ahead and give it to me. So people have cooperated either ignorantly or consciously with this diabolic kingdom. And that is why from that diabolic kingdom, the Bible uses the language. Let me read Ephesians quickly here. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 2. I read the New Living Translation. It says, once you were, this was a letter to the church, to the saints, to believers. But here the author, Paul, writing to Christians in the city of Ephesus. He said, once you are dead, not natural death, but spiritual disconnect from God. Once you are dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world. So natural people who are under certain influences. He said, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world or unseen realm. The King James calls that phrase the prince of the power of the air. His influence is not just in the air. It shapes out in cultures, in perspectives, in decisions, in all manner of activity in the natural plane. And so here he says, he's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. King James calls it the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Are you still in here? So I've shown us the natural kingdom. I've also pointed to us for a short level, a diabolic kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. But it influences things here on earth. Influences fashion. Makes, fashion for ladies that leaves very little to imagination. Makes fashion for men that makes them to look wild, appear wild, having a seeming appearance. Affects culture through music, affects culture through philosophy, affects culture through the vain philosophies of men. Writings, Socrates, Pluto, and all of those things out there. But there is also yet another kingdom. This kingdom, God is in charge. This third kingdom also influences things on the earth, and he chose in his sovereignty to make his son, his only begotten son, king over that realm. And not just as king, we also realize that this Jesus is also King of Kings. Meaning in this kingdom, other people are allowed to have their reign, to have their rule, to have their domain, to have their influence. But also using their domains of influence and scholarship and authority to worship him. And so you will see here, friends, that this chapter 11 and verse also has a global agenda, an earthly agenda. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15 quickly. I read the King James again. He said, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of business, of marriage, of commerce, of family, of creative arts, of governance, of government and diplomacy, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. My interest here is to begin to show you there is always a natural tendency. When we think of the last days, we think of the evil. We think of men loving themselves rather than loving God. Lovers of pleasures rather than loving God. Lovers of money and all of those things we'll be hearing in the course of the conference. But I want to show you another dynamics of these last days. It's not just the last days of human scholarship and technology, improving everywhere. It's not just the last days of demons making many to depart from the faith and a time in which all those things listed in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 5. It's also a time where God has ordained that his kingdom will span the entire universe. You read in Daniel chapter 2. I'm not sure I have the time to read. But you can read Daniel chapter 2 from verse 34 to verse 35 and verse 44. It talks there how the king saw a revelation, Daniel decoded, and he saw different kingdoms and symbolized by gold, by silver, by precious stones, and then by metal mixed with clay. And he said, these are different human kingdoms. And I've shown us, like from Daniel, Daniel chapter 10, Ezekiel 28, that these kingdoms, many a times, they're not just human, a man sitting on the throne. They have demonic ranking powers that influence their choices. The way Alexander the Great was able to bring, and he led the Grecian kingdom. When you read about the kingdom of Persia, he said, when I go back, the prince of Grecia will also show up. Meaning once you dislodge this kingdom, a king is dislodging the natural, there is a reinforcement, a shift in the spirit. Another ranking power is brought forth to commence another kingdom for the devil. But that's not my interest here tonight. I'm challenging us in here tonight that listen, there is also a kingdom of God. It's also a kingdom that influences things here on earth. He said all of these things symbolized by the human stature, symbolizing everything man does, everything man concords, even with courts of darkness. He said a stone not made with hands falls from heaven and hits the statue, human statue at the feet and brings it down. And this stone fills the whole earth as a mighty mountain. That stone represents the kingdom of God. Its influence will be here on earth. Its influence will not be localized. Its influence will be universal. But please recognize, as I draw this to a close, as we recognize that there is another kingdom, it is a divine kingdom. It is an eternal kingdom. It has an agenda for these last days. Not only Daniel prophesying it in Daniel chapter 2, but you also see in another dimension, Joel prophesying it also in Joel and chapter 2. Read from verse 28. He said, it shall come to pass after this, after the material expressions of the people of God praying and fasting and God blessing them and taking shame away. He said, there is a higher. So no matter what you experience in the natural, in the material prosperity, there is a higher dimension God is calling us into. It is the workings of the Spirit of God. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And our pouring of the Spirit that does not discriminate. It's not just for the rich. It's not a mandate. It's not a kingdom mandate that discriminates against the poor. That says Jesus hates poor people. That says Jesus never related with poor people. It's a false gospel. It's a fake gospel. It cannot stand the scrutiny of the entirety of the gospel and the scriptures. I will pour out of my Spirit without discrimination upon all flesh. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Upon my maid servants, male and female, I will pour out my Spirit and they will prophesy. I'm not even able to break down all that here tonight, but I'm showing us here with the last days of technological advancement, with the last days of diabolic global influence, is also the last days of the massive outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. It's a good place to celebrate the plan of God for the last days. We're not alone in these last days. We're not isolated in these last days. We're not in a bubble hiding away. Jesus, come quickly in these last days. There is a reinforcement. There is an equipping. There is an outpouring. There will be demonstrations. There will be manifestations. He said the earnest expectation of creation with all their technology, with all their diabolic content, waited the manifestation of the sons of God. And I said all that to bring us to this challenge here today. So in these last days, there will be manifestations. Technology is already manifesting. Hybrid powered vehicles. I read a few days ago a company about to release flying vehicles. So that when you land, you just bring in all the flying paraphernalia and then you drive again on the road. You will master the depths of the sea. Man has mastered the depths of the sea and passed technology to run through the sea. Man has mastered the air and has technology that can navigate through the air. Man has mastered murky terrains and there is technology. So there is not only technological advancement in the last days, And don't always overbloat the diabolic agenda for the last days. God is not on recess on the last days. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out on the young. I will pour out on the old. I will not discriminate because of age. I will not discriminate because of gender. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And my question in submission tonight is this. You will be found on which side of the manifestation? Where are you? What do you carry? What are you lining up with? Because the things you say, the things you think, the things you do, the associations you have are windows into your type of manifestation. All those things we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 5 and some of those things by Jesus in Matthew 24, all of those things we read, they are signs of the times. Many a times are in alignment with Satan's agenda, but God also has an agenda. Where will you be found? What are you manifesting? And when we talk about the pouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, we're not just talking about anointing and lay hands and fall down. The Holy Spirit is a whole agenda. The things you do under pressure as a child of God begins to reveal whether the character development curriculum of the Holy Spirit is finding expression in your life. The patience, the love, the forgiveness, praying for those who despitefully use you begins to show us that though you may not be demonstrating anointing, but you are demonstrating the Holy Spirit. The outpouring is not just about the anointing. The outpouring is about character. Character development, like Christ. Calmness under pressure. Forgiveness against hostility. The outpouring of the Spirit is about the character of Christ in development in our lives. The outpouring is about the leading of the Spirit, that you are not just led by your pastor. Your pastor only confirms what the Holy Spirit has led you into, that you carry the anointing. You can go into hospital wards and lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. You can walk in the gifts of the Spirit. You can know things. When he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and they will prophesy and they will see visions. These are manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit of God. So the gift dimension, the fruit dimension, the leading dimension, the anointing dimension. No wonder Paul said, he said, when I came to you, I came to know nothing else other than Christ and him crucified, to the Corinthian Christians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, and I came to you in weakness, in fear, in trembling. I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Let us not just focus on the power dimension. Let us embrace the whole works of the Spirit of the Lord. Because that is his assignment. That is his agenda. That is the enabling he has brought for us in these last days. Shall we take a bow tonight?